2 Peter 1, verse 20, 21.
Above all, you must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets themselves, or because they wanted to prophesy, it was the Holy Spirit who moved the prophets to speak from God. Verse 22. Oh, that's all of them, isn't it? 21? Yeah, okay. Now, the next chapter is 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. Now, I mean, there couldn't be any false teachers in the church today, could there? But there were also false teachers in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God and even turn against their master who bought them. Now, see, these men are really Christians. Is that what that says? They will turn against their master who bought them. So that means here we got in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, that there's going to be false prophets, and they're going to cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God and even turn against their master who bought them. Theirs will be a swift and terrible end. When I read that in the New Testament, I have to go back for a few seconds in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 13, the first few verses. And I want to show you something that how God tests us. He's testing us right here. And we don't even know it. But I want to show you in Deuteronomy 13, suppose there are prophets among you are those who have dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles. Okay, so do we have people like that today? Yes, we sure do. Now, how do we tell whether these guys are right? And he says, and the predicted signs or miracles take place. Okay, now that's the first indication in it, Lou, that they're really men of God. Is that right? In other words, if they tell you, if they predict signs and miracles, it's a good, and they all come true, every one of them, that's a good sign that man's a prophet from God, right? Because no man can give you prophetic things and hit every one of them except he be from God. Nobody knows what the future holds except God. Is that right, Joseph? Nobody. There ain't nobody can make these predictions except they're really from God. So he says, suppose there are prophets among you or those who have dreams about the future and they promise you signs or miracles and the predicted signs or miracles take place. If the prophets then say, come, let us worship the gods of a foreign nation. Let's think about this. Now, these things they predicted, they were men of God. They were teachers and pastors and everything in churches. And then they tell you, come, let us worship the gods of foreign nations. Do we have that going on in the church today? One of the major places that's going on in the church today is in the movement of Chrislam. Now, if you haven't heard about Chrislam, Chrislam is the mixture in the church today between Christ and the Islamic religion. They call it Chrislam. And it's getting to be bigger all the time. Here a while back, they had their first meeting, and I think there was 54 churches in the United States of America that the first Sunday they had it that had the Quran in the back of the pew as well as the Bible. And they have people talk about how wonderful Chrislam is. They have Muslims up there, and they talk about how Islamic religion is a peaceful religion, and we want to cohabitat together between Christ and Islam. We in the church today are so dense when it comes to these things. We've not studied the Scripture enough, so we go to church and we think of our pastor that's there has the Quran in the back of the pews and he's speaking. Look what the Scripture says. Suppose there are prophets among you, those who have dreams about the future and they promise you signs and miracles and the predicted signs or miracles take place. If the prophets then say, come and let us worship the gods of foreign nations. If we don't wake up, we're going to have a real problem on our hands. But the Lord's warning us here in His Word. Now He says, and the predicted signs or miracles take place. If the prophets then say, come, let us worship the gods of foreign nations, goes right back to exactly what we're reading in 2 Peter. Except look what the consequences are. Look what they are in verse 3. Do not listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love Him. Now, is that an eye-opener? Who's doing this? The Lord's testing you and me, Lou, every day. He tests us. And we want to make sure we pass the test, right, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Do not listen to these men that teach you about these foreign gods. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love Him with all your heart and soul. Do you love Jesus Christ with all your heart and soul?
There's only one, Jesus Christ. And only He is the only way to heaven. Serve only the Lord your God and fear Him alone. Obey His commands, listen to His voice, and cling to Him. Let's see what verse 5 and 6 says, and then we'll go back to 2 Peter. The false prophets are dreamers who try. The false prophets or dreamers who try to lead you astray must be put to death. Wow. For they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of slavery in the land of Egypt. Since they try to keep you from following the Lord your God, you must execute them to remove the evil from among you. Now, in the Old Covenant, they did it physically. We got to see it. They killed them. In the New Testament, we do it spiritually. It's done a different way. Let's see what 6 says. Suppose our brother, son, daughter, beloved wife, or closest friend comes to you secretly and says, let us go worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known. Okay, let's read one more. They might suggest that you worship the gods of people who live nearby or who come from the ends of the earth. Verse 8, if they do, do not give in or listen and have no pity. Do not spare or protect them. This is your own sons and daughters. God's going to find out if you love Him or if you love your children or somebody else more than Him. You know that? Not only is He talking about pastors coming teaching you a lie, He's talking about your own family teaching you a lie. Is that something? You better not pay attention. You better pay attention to God's Word. Okay, let's go back to 2 Peter. There are false prophets in Israel. There are also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God and even turn against their master who bought them. Theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Now, who's going to do that? God Himself's going to take care of that. All we got to do is pray. Under the old covenant, they had to go out and kill them themselves. But under the new covenant, God's going to take care of it Himself. All we got to do is pray. That's why so many people in churches get sick. Pastors get sick. And they have sin in their life. I think of the pastors I have dealt with in the last 10 years. I'm telling you, it's absolutely amazing the number of pastors that I've had called here that were sick and afflicted and had problems. And when I get down to it, it's amazing how many of them have divorced their wife, have committed adultery, are stealing from the church or whatever they're doing. I'll put it this way. I won't say that this is one that will guarantee you're losing your salvation, but I will say, just like in the book of Genesis, when Moses came to the Lord and said, Lord, please forgive the sins of all these people whenever they didn't do, when he come down off the mountain and broke the stones, he said, Lord, please forgive them. Either that or take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord says, I will take whose name I want to out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what he said, wasn't it, Joseph? In other words, Moses, you didn't do anything wrong, so I am not taking your name out of the book. But this guy over here and this woman and that one right there, they did not obey me. So if I want to, I can take their names out of the book of life and they're going to go to hell. But that's what he says right there in Deuteronomy. So I don't know whose names he's going to take out, but I ain't going to be one of those that turns my back on him. I don't even want to take a chance. Do you? If there's anything I want to be sure about when I get there, it's where I'm going. We're going to walk with our God, because he says there, they will cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God, even turning against their master who bought them. I mean, this is a confirmed fact that these people right here, at least right now, are saved. But they're going to turn their back on God, and He alone knows whose names He's going to take out of the book. But I ain't going to be one of those guys. I ain't turning my back on the Lord. There ain't nothing in this world worth losing your salvation for. Nothing. Nothing. Absolute nothing. But he says, theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Now, these are men that are standing in our churches today. God's in control. They will cleverly teach their destructive heresies about God and even turn against their masters who bought them. Theirs will be a swift and terrible end. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of them, Christ in his true way will be slandered. If you cannot produce a demonstration of the Spirit's power somehow, if people are not getting saved in your church, people are not getting healed in your church, if there's no movement of God in your church, then you need to be doing something else. If there ain't nothing happening, many, it says, will follow their evil teachings and shameful immorality, and because of them, Christ and His true way will be slandered. You got a pastor that's sleeping with his secretary,
and you think I'm going to let that guy lay hands on me, you got another thing coming. If somebody prays for me, I want to know who they are. I don't let very many men pray for me. I got to know they're men of God. If I have ever called you to pray for me when I had a problem, if you've ever been called, I have the highest regards for you. I only got two or three men like that I know that well. Not very many. But I know if I call somebody to pray for me, I want somebody that can get through to God. If I know that you've been involved in signs and miracles and wonders, and if I have a need, I'll call you. But if you've never been involved in signs and miracles and wonders, I don't care if you've been to this church or what church you've been to. If you've never seen signs and miracles and wonders and healings and casting out of demons, then you're not where you need to be to pray for somebody that's anointed. You need to make sure, you need to be careful. Many will follow their evil teachings and shameful immorality, and because of them, Christ and his way will be slandered. When I was teaching in Job 33, I come down to the point where it says, and only one in a thousand can pray the prayer of faith. That's what it says. That in Job 33, in the King James Bible, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness. What does that tell us? In other words, we're going to go and pray the prayer of faith for this man that we're talking about here. He's got the cancer, whatever it is, where his bones stick out and God has afflicted him with sickness and pain because of his sin. And somebody is going to go over there and be able to pray the prayer of faith. And when we look at that, if there be a messenger with him, which means a lot of times you don't have a messenger. There ain't one that can pray the prayer of faith. There needs to be a lot of us. What I'm trying to get through to you, there needs to be a lot of us that's taught the truth of God's Word that can be that one in a thousand. Do you agree with that? When I was talking to Kenneth Copeland the other day, he asked me, how big was my church? I told him, I said, well, Kenneth, it's just a little building, you know. He said, do you have a mail out? I said, oh, yeah. He said, how many do you mail out? I said, well, first of all, we give out about 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week somewhere all over the world. And then we have about 5,000, pretty close to 5,000 on our tape of the month. He said, Thurman, that's not a little church. And Kenneth said, Thurman, I just want to be a part of your ministry. And he reached over and handed me a check for $5,000.
You've been listening to Thurman Scribner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Walk Uprightly, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we would be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.